Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning into this week's episode of The Ball Bags podcast. We're rattling through it. We're getting close to Christmas. I think we've 4 episodes left after this one, if memory serves, in 10 episodes this season. We are sans the talents of Rocky. He is elsewhere. Didn't let us know this week, but elsewhere. So we wish him well. We miss his voice and his charisma. That last bit was a lie. But I am delighted to say that it's not just me this evening. I am joined by a gent, a scholar, a true shot caller. It's the Chief. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Sasquatch. So another week, another episode. So, how are you this week?
Been better. Most listeners wouldn't be aware of this, but myself and Chief partake in a fantasy NFL league. I am currently the third highest point scorer I scored, I think. But I've conceded the most points and sit bottom out of 8. I think back-to-back-to-back highest points in a loss. So yeah, look, I'm just going to enjoy myself over the last few weeks, but I think my playoff push is put to bed, as the fella says. But I digress. A lot to get through this week. Obviously, we'll just be myself and the Chief. So just 2 player of the weeks, 2 agree to disagrees, but Rocky was kind enough to send on his must-see TV this week, which, Chief, if you'd do me the honour of reading as we get to the end of the show. But without much further ado, Chief, who is your player of the week and why?
My player of the week for this week is Russell Wilson. Not so much for his actual stats in the game against the Commanders, but more so a bit of a redemption arc from his time in the Broncos last year. After coming back, missing the first couple of games with injury and coming back, he's him and Justin Fields, to be fair, have got the Steelers purring nicely and probably going to keep Mike Tomlin's positive record on track for another year.
Well, look, I've on other productions on the network and stuff, I've hammered home the door. There's a man in absentia this week who maybe doesn't always share the same opinion, but I think it is inevitable that Mike Tomlin gets added to the Hall of Fame. As a coach, I think there's no one as consistent. Like, rightly so, Belichick will be added to the Hall of Fame, but how Hall of a Fame of a career is that without Brady? Which we now begin to ask. It's probably a good thing for him he hasn't dipped the toe back in just yet. I think if he dips the toe back in, if he's not clever, he would remove all doubt that it was Mr. Thomas Edward Brady all along. But yeah, what he's got out of Fields first and then Russell Wilson, and there was a lot of clamour with the dropping of Justin Fields, and it was in many ways undeserved, but Mr. Unlimited is Mr. Undefeated at present, so it's hard to argue with either.
And that's why Mike Tomlin gets paid the big bucks and we're just sports fans at the end of the day,
yeah,
isn't it?
And I think the scientific term is gobshites, but look, I won't waste too much time on that. My player of the week is probably predictable if you know me or if you've listened to Nelson on this network, as I said. My player of the week was Joseph Suoliti. If anyone managed to watch the English Australia game on the weekend, it was probably the best sporting contest I've seen all weekend. Any code. 21 years of age, his first professional game of rugby union, to win man of the match in that contest and to pretty much just show the flair player he is, the offloads, the touches, the command he has in the air. And when you look at some of the rule changes in union in the last year or so, it's kind of favouring that aerial battle. It's maybe something Ireland need to look at, but we'll get to that. But I just thought phenomenal, and having seen his talents in the NRL, for an admirer for a few years, albeit that being 18, 19, 20, now 21, it's scary what the potential is for this bloke. So
yeah, had the pleasure of watching this game and seeing Australia win it in right at the death. What a performance from such a young fella, especially as you say, given it's his first professional union game. Level of maturity, years like miles beyond his years. You know, it's the offloads and touches he had, like, just what a prospect. And I think not just him, but getting guys around him now, for like with Schmidt getting guys around him, makes the line series that bit more interesting now. And you know, it wasn't, maybe 6 months ago it was a foregone conclusion that the Lions would walk it. And now you're thinking, okay, get some guys around him, Schmidt has enough time bedding in his system and stuff like that. Next summer series down in Australia could be really good, and he'll be a player to watch out for in that series. So as okay. I'm going to go out and say, give you the not an easy win, but of the two performances, Russell Wilson's at the other end of the scale in terms of he's been there, he's done it in his profession. I will gladly concede and give you Joseph Suaalii for Player of the Week.
Well, do you know what? Maybe we're spending too much time, because I was happy to give you the win on that as well. But look, I think since you're giving it to me, I'll take it. I'd be a pig like that now, to be fair. You're too nice sometimes, Chief. But yeah, look, I think we can agree to important performances for different reasons. And I know it's only one fixture, but we'll probably touch on that in your agree to disagree, but I do think it's a big 3 years for Australia. Years 2, 3 and 4 of the Rugby World Cup cycle, given where that Rugby World Cup is due to be held. Yeah. So even if it's just a flash, it's good to see the flash, because we all have concerns for copious different reasons. So yeah, agree to disagree, Chief. What do you got for us this week?
So listeners are probably going to say this is a broken record, but having been humbled by the All Blacks last Friday in Dublin and ending a 19-game winning streak in the Aviva, is this week's matchup the time for experimenting with different combinations of personnel, or will Andy Farrell stick to his guns and double down with the tried and tested that is pretty much been set in stone for the last number of years?
Yeah, I think a difficult one, and it gets more difficult given how bad the performance was. I think it's very difficult now to go with something completely off the cuff. You've built this, he has kind of said that year one of this World Cup cycle will be a continuation of the last World Cup, which I never fully agreed with anyway. The fact he's missing for 8 months from January is huge. Huge for how the Six Nations squad is picked. And I just think it's a mistake. I think I thought it was a mistake in the Six Nations. I thought it was definitely a mistake in the Summer Internationals. And it's increased its level of being a mistake as the year has gone on, as the season has gone on, as such, or this, or year one of the World Cup cycle, should I say, because it is a new season. It's hard to wrap your head around it, but I think Australia and New Zealand have shown us what we should have done. In that, look, you look at the World Cups, the World Cup, New Zealand got to the final, and a lot of the players moved on, went to Japan, went money chasing, and they started blooded like a pretty much a whole new roster as such. Obviously, there wasn't a completely new one, but they held on to some names and they moved off some others. Australia went to the World Cup, was a bit of a disaster, but it has been a bit of a disaster for the last kind of decade or so in Australia. Joseph Suoliti stole the headlines, but there was other players who I was very impressed with, having not seen a whole heap of the Rugby Championship this summer. And I think in both instances, you can see the benefit of taking that year where it's going to hurt. And I think we haven't. So next year, we could have to take the year of hurt. And I think what didn't help the situation is the change from Nusafora to David Humphries. The timing of it as such. I think Humphries only fully got bedded in January. Whereas I think the...
I think it was even later than that. I think it was possibly May or June that he's really taken over.
You're correct, because his first remit was the Olympics.
Yes.
And I think those conversations should have been had. That look, take it to the ground. You're safe, Andy. You're safe. Yeah. Take it to the ground. Yeah. We back you. And let's see what we have the next 4 years. Yeah, I'm at a loss. Yeah.
Like, Andy Farrell as a coach of Ireland has absolute money in the bank and has the right to pick, obviously, you know, whoever he wants. But I think there's two things. The Nusafora thing, when he announced he was leaving, it probably should have finished at the World Cup. And Humphries or an interim in place for the Six Nations, for the, you know, just that handover period until Humphries was ready to take over and stuff. But I also feel, maybe not the Six Nations gone, but Simon Easterby should have been in charge for this Autumn Nations series as well, and maybe even the summer tour, to let him pick players and combinations himself. You know, not... Okay, he's going to have a lot of similarities and favourites as Andy Farrell has and stuff, but just try the different combinations and different guys out. Like, we know what James Lowe can offer. I'm not saying Stockdale would have made a difference on Friday night. Like, the whole team just wasn't performing well. But Stockdale is someone who has come back into form. And he could have been given the chance. Mac Hansen was straight back in, didn't do a lot wrong. Do you continue with Calvin Nash, or is Calvin Nash suffering because of Munster's problems this year, where they're playing behind, they're not on the front football, and the backs aren't looking as good? You know, it's like there's so many combinations to try. Like the back row, I think Ryan Baird should come in this week, if he's fit. Tyke Byrne back into the second row. I think Joe McCarthy off the bench. If it was me, James Ryan, I think actually done quite well. I was impressed with kind of he had that bit of grunt about him in the rucks, that, and maybe we need more of that as well. More dog like, and I just, yeah, like when you, like, I think the last 2 weeks we've given player of the week to a 21-year-old and a 22-year-old from Australia and New Zealand. Wallace Atiti last week and Joseph Suoliti this week. It's where is that 21-year-old coming from Ireland, like an Irish perspective? I think
back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas, but that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country, and those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain, and that matters because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here. at American-Giant.com. Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Sam Prendergast is going to need to get time, but he also needs time to develop at Leinster first before he's, do you know what I mean? He hasn't really been tested at Leinster before we go putting him into a green jersey.
Do you want to sound like a real broken record? Potentially the blockage of talent development is owing to the current central contract and the stockpile of talent that happened in Leinster. I just have one point I want to get to. I know I've hammered the door down on how we should have restarted the squad in year one after the World Cup, but just to put things in perspective, and it's high calibre opposition, but Ireland's last five games, two wins. Obviously lost England, Twickenham, ultimate trap game. Scrape the victory against Scotland. Let's not, like, that was
ugly.
That's probably the more, probably one of the more damaging performances, and it was a win. Lost to South Africa, won in South Africa, and then obviously lost to the All Blacks. Can you say blooding a brand new, a big change in the team? Like, can you say that, like, with that in mind, going 1-5 is worse? I don't think it is. I think it's inconceivably better. Look. Something wrong, and I think potentially egos are at play. Well, hopefully you think they turn things around. They're a good side, so they should be able to fix.
Yeah, I think Farrell even came out and said, like, you don't become a bad side overnight. Was there rustiness? Potentially. But these lads have been getting minutes at the provinces. They know each other inside and out. So the rustiness, I don't think, should have been there on Friday night. That's just from a continuity point of view, from where, like, they literally do know each other inside and out. You know, they know each other's probably favourite meals and everything. And to start off that rusty, caught cold on a Friday night in Dublin against the All Blacks, realistically, they can't afford to get caught against Argentina this week. If it was a new team, it's not as bad. It's more acceptable. But the thing with this Ireland team is it's almost win at all costs and win now.
For what is friendlies?
Yeah, okay, it affects the rankings, but the rankings mean nothing until the year before the World Cup draw or the year of the World Cup draw.
To be brutally honest with you, as an Irish rugby fan, the rankings mean fuck all until you win a quarter final. Until you can actually prove that at international level you can win a knockout game in rugby. We haven't been able to do that since. Like, ever. So, yeah. Like, to me, I'm so over number one side.
I think the world rankings are meaningless. Like, if you hold that Webb Ellis trophy for 4 years, you are the number one side in the world. And you've proved it. Mm. And South Africa have proved it two finals in a row. And are rightly so back at number one after the weekend's results.
Fair. Well, look, moving slightly abreast, something we don't have a horse in this one, but I just think it's something that's worth kind of talking, and it's maybe less a comment about Liverpool and more a comment about attention spans of sporting fans. So I suppose, given there's been very little changeover of personnel, and if outside of Liverpool we just park the minutiae and the discrepancies this season, in the event Arne Slot does go on and lift the title at season's end, is it harmful to Klopp's legacy in two ways? One, public perception with the passage of time. Obviously, in 5 years' time, we're going to look back and you go, well, Arnie Slot came in and won it his first season with the exact same side that Klopp couldn't get over the line with the season before. And then also, outside of that, in reality, does it actually tear his reputation? Like, I know Klopp turned Liverpool around, and you look at that side he had when he walked in the door to what he turned it into, it was exceptional work, but maybe that's all his work. That was the highlight of his work, was turning it around. What say you, Chief?
Very interesting point and interesting take, that even as the most biased of United fans, be hard not to disagree with. Like, it's when you look at the results this year, how he's basically continued, just brought that same squad. They're doing well on all fronts. Like, it's not inconceivable to think they could do Champions League and Premier League double with how they're playing. And if he was to do that, then I think that's an even bigger, well, how come Klopp couldn't do it? He done one, and he did win Champions League, didn't he, Klopp?
When we corrected. 1-1, lost one. Yeah. Lost Real Madrid. Carrius said that.
1-1, lost one. Won the league. We've said it. When it comes to the league, no one remembers who finished second. Regardless of any other year, Liverpool's points total would have won the league. Statisticians remember second place. That's it. But you're not remembered for finishing second. If Slot goes on to win the league this year, maybe a Champions League. But then if he backed it up with a league win next year, with only adding, you know, like, if there's someone aging out, like if Salah was to go at the end of this season, which he may not, because he's back in a rich vein of form, and might decide to stay, you would then question how come Klopp couldn't get more out of that squad. And it's like, okay, he done a good job, but that's where it ranks. And I think if, in terms of Premier League great managers, is he up there with Mourinho, Ferguson, Wenger? Is he up there with those? I don't think so. He's won the same amount of titles as Leicester. I know, like, Claudio Ranieri is a bit different, but do you know? It's not shitting on their Premier League win. It is one win. Kenny Dalglish has won with Blackburn.
I suppose, widely different leagues and widely different levels of dichotomies in the leagues at those times. For me, obviously, look, there is a very big caveat to all this, and that is that City look rudderless without Rodri. I still know it's City and you can't write them off, and Arsenal are kind of floundering as well. So at this moment in time, it could obviously change. We're fast approaching a festive period, which tends to really dictate who the champions are, not by the games you win over, but by the games you don't lose. And I would have harked back to it last year and saying that we lost the league by losing two fixtures. The Stevens Day fixture, the West Ham,
I think, was it?
And
Fulham.
Fulham on New Year's Day. Mm. On New Year's Eve, sorry. And Aston Villa, for me, you take Aston Villa. But it was those two fixtures that I think we lost the league there. But I just think, look, the minutiae to it all and the kind of, like, I know it's not four Premier League games, but to see a Pep side lose four games in the bounce, alarm bells are ringing there. There's been plenty of clamour that the United incumbent had turned down an offer from City over the summer. So I think Pep's time at City is coming to an end. You wonder what impact those 115 charges have. Be it he thinks something's coming, be it he just doesn't like being involved in a club that has that going in the background. But I do think there was a second part to this. If we went on for 10 minutes as opposed to 6, I think incorrectly Klopp will be judged against Arnie's success. I think I think it could well be a common take.
And then I suppose you could say that Slot is the benefactor of Klopp's hard work. Right man, right time, you know, or right place, right time as well, you know.
Obviously, yeah, and there's
more to it than that. Like, he's changed the system a little bit, and
And the one caveat there is, like, Klopp had this exact same lineup at the start of the season, and they weren't close. They weren't close after Christmas. But I do also think Liverpool are potentially a bad injury away from
bit of trouble. Yeah,
getting into a bit of trouble.
You'd imagine if Van Dijk was to suffer another sort of mid-term injury, like, you know, short to mid-term injury, like, it would have a huge effect on them. Yeah,
they could drop points. Yeah, look, I think it is something to kind of keep in the background, just depending on how the season plays out. But look, we digress. I'm coming towards the closing stanza. Chief, can I get not just your must-see TV, but can I also get Rocky's
must-see TV? Sticking with the Autumn Nation series, my must-see TV is England against the Springboks. England obviously been involved in two very close games with the All Blacks and Australia, coming out on the wrong side in both of those. Be interesting to see how to go against the Springboks on Saturday evening at 20-6 on TNT. And Rocky, who obviously loved what he saw at the weekend, has gone with the All Blacks against France, which is pretty much straight after England and South Africa at 8:10. Also on TNT, and I'm sure other places.
You gotta feel sorry for him. The bloke is constantly hammered about how he's going to start getting into other sports, and the one weekend he does, he's not able to follow up and be in the podcast that week after.
It's cruel.
Oh, the mind boggles. It is cruel. I suppose, obviously, not that it was difficult, but we are in the midst of an international window in both association football and rugby. So there's no high caliber Premier League contest. I had a look at the NBA contest. There's not a great deal. There's a few good NFL matchups, and part of me wanted to go with Thursday Night Football. Finland, Ireland. No, I'm joking. Eagles against the Commanders. Obviously, top of the table clash in the NFC East. But I thought it was too biased. And I think just the way the sides are going, for different reasons, the matchup of the Bills versus the Chiefs on Sunday, the 17th to the 11th at 9:25, that will be on Sky Sports main event, as well as the NFL channel, I think, as well. That is a fascinating duel we've seen play over both quarterbacks' tenure. Well, maybe not the entirety. Josh Allen was a bit of a misnomer in his first year, but since then it has been fascinating. You're looking at potentially one of the best sides in the AFC versus the side that just doesn't know how to lose anymore. You find a way for them to win a game, they'll follow it through. So that's my pick for the week, but we give it too much granular. But yeah, a shorter one without the stylistic vocals of Rocky, shall we say.
Very enjoyable
one nonetheless, Chief.
And that's all from me.
So that's all from me. Thank you. I'll go see Hawaii.